One. Amen. How many are happy to be here in the house of the Lord today? You know, it is a privilege to be able to come together as a body and magnify the Lord. You know, in times past, it wasn't possible, but because there are those who triumph over persecution, over struggles, over those who tormented those, killed those, because of their perseverance, we are here today able to come freely and magnify his name. Amen? Amen? Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. So we are in a series titled Kingdom Living. And I'm going to ask you to open up your Bibles to Philippians chapter 4, verse 6. I'm going to read out of two different translations. The first one is going to be an American Standard Version, and then we're going to jump to what I consider my favorite, the Passion Translation. Can I please get this microphone off the monitor? Thank you. And if you have it, say amen. Amen. It says like this, Philippians chapter 4, verse 6, "In nothing be anxious, but in everything by prayer and supplication. With thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God." Now, transferring over to the Passion Translation, it says, "Don't be pulled in different directions or worried about a thing. Be saturated in prayer throughout each day, offering your faith-filled requests before God with overflowing gratitude. Tell him every detail of your life." Again, it says, "Be saturated in prayer throughout each day." Heavenly Father, we thank you. We thank you for your word, Lord, that will go forth freely. I thank you for each and every individual who has come into this building with their hearts and minds open, ready to receive. I thank you for those who are watching online in this hour. Lord, I declare that those who are seen in person or online, that their lives may be transformed and changed. Your word is powerful. Your word holds true. Father, we thank you. We thank you, Lord, for what you're going to do today. Thank you for the healing power that will go forth. Thank you, Lord God. You are faithful. You are true. You are wonderful. In Jesus' name, everybody say, amen. Hallelujah. The title of the message today is, "If you pray, you will heal." Again, if you pray, you will heal. At the time this letter was written, Paul, who was the author, was in a Roman prison. And the book of Acts chapter 16 will find that it is where the church of Philippi was founded by Paul and his fellow believers on the second missionary journey. When the church of Philippi heard of Paul's imprisonment, they had sent a gift with Epaphroditus, who was one of their members, to be delivered to Paul. When he received the gift, he wrote this letter out of the love and abundance in gratitude towards the church of Philippi, the church, for their gift, and to encourage them in their faith. He wrote them a personal expression of his love and affection towards them. In a life dedicated to serving Christ, Paul faced excruciating poverty. He also had an abundance of wealth, and he also lived in the in-between. Regardless of the predicament or circumstance Paul found himself in, he had learned to be content, finding real joy as he focused all his attention and energy in knowing and obeying the words by Christ. In the passage we read, Paul expressed the significance of praying. The significance of praying and not giving attention to the circumstances around them in that time. If we examine the scripture, we will see there are two significant points that he urges the church of Philippi. First is be anxious for nothing. In the Passion Translation says, don't be pulled in different directions or worried about a thing. To be anxious is experiencing worry, unease, and nervousness. Paul, knowing the place where he was, knowing the predicament he was facing, still had the confidence in his Lord. To know that regardless of where he was or what issue he was facing, everything was going to be all right. He encourages the church of Philippi to step out. And what would have been a normal reaction of worry, he did not do it regardless of his position and where he was. He encouraged the people to not worry. He had the right to worry. He had the okay to worry in his predicament. It was good. He was in prison. It was okay for him at that time to do it. But he chose not to rely, he chose not to pay attention on the circumstances. He kept the joy that he received from his Lord. He stood on the word of the Lord and what he was taught. The letter was not only written for the church of Philippi. It was not only written for that congregation. This letter was also written for Word Life Church. The letter of do not be anxious, do not worry regardless of your circumstances is for Word Life Church. You know, we're living in a time where there is so much happening, so much going on. Sicknesses, viruses, diseases, those killing others, men killing men, women killing women, all kinds of things going on in this church. But the Word of God is saying, people of God, don't worry. He's saying, don't be anxious for anything. Don't be concerned about what's going on, because it's supposed to happen. This stuff is supposed to happen. The Word of God says it's going to get worse. I find it so intriguing and so interesting when I see Christians worrying and stressing about what's going on. All I can say, that's supposed to happen. We are encouraged by the word, by the letter, to not worry. Today I have come to tell you, don't worry, church. Don't be anxious. Matthew chapter 6, verses 31 to 32. I'm going to read out of the Passion Translation. If you have not read that translation, I encourage you to do so. It is so encouraging. Matthew chapter 6, verse 31, 32. If you have it, say amen. If you don't have it, see the screen. The Bible says, verse 31, so then forsake your worries. Forsake means abandon, renounce, give up your worries. Why would you say, what will we eat? What will we drink? What will we wear? For that is what? That is what unbelievers do. That is what unbelievers do. You want to know why that is the action that unbelievers do? Because they have no hope. They have nowhere to go to. They have no word to stand on. But we as believing believers have the Word of God. But we as believing believers, we have a Father who is there for us, who is there to cover us and protect us regardless of the circumstance. That is what unbelievers do. Doesn't your Heavenly Father already know the things your bodies require? He made us. He formed us. Out of the dust of the earth He created. He blew air into our nostrils. He gave us life to pick up and go. That is the same Father who will be there with you regardless of your situation. If you got sickness, viruses, diseases, if you have an issue with your finances, if you got problems with your family, don't worry about anything, because the Lord your God is right there with you. He will never leave you, nor will He forsake you. That is a promise that He declared in where? In His Word. You know, the Lord didn't inspire people to write the Word just so that they have things to do, just so they can kill time instead of just sitting there. He inspired them so that we can know the truth. Because when we know the truth, what happens? We are free. Psalms 23, well-known verse. We all know the verse. You churchgoers, even non-churchgoers, go know this verse. But I love the way the Passion Translation says it. It says, the Lord is my what? Passion Translation says, he is my best friend and my shepherd. I always have more than enough. He offers a resting place for me in a luxurious love. Man, if this is the love letter, man, that's, whew, in luxurious love. His tracks take me in an oasis of peace. The quiet brook of bliss. That's where he restores and revives my life. He opens before me paths to God's pleasure and leads me along in his footsteps of righteousness so that I can bring honor to his name. When I read this scripture, when I read that piece, what amazed me, when we walk in his steps, we will never fail. If we walk where he steps, we will never, ever fail. We will be in success every day of our lives. Because where he goes, everything is good. Look at this. Lord, verse 4, even when your path takes me through the valley of the deepest darkness, fear will never conquer me, for you already have. You know, I'm not going to sit here and say you'll never go through trials. I'm not going to stand here and say you'll never be tested. You're going to be tested. You're going to have trials and tribulation. Why? Because it's in the Word. It says it in the Word. But when you're in those circumstances, when you're in those predicaments, when you're in walking in that path, we got him. We got him to cover us. We got him to be with us. You remain close to me and lead me through all the way. Your authority is my strength and my peace. The comfort of your love takes away my fear. I'll never be lonely, for you are near. For those of you who have ever experienced loneliness, when you find God, you will never be alone. You will never be alone. You will never be alone. I don't care if nobody's there around you at that moment. You will never be alone. Because he will never leave you, nor will he forsake you. Solo la reja la mano y sica tarororo boro sica de boro citaré. La reja la moro roro hite de cada pareja la namoyoro. La reja la boroco to suco de pareja la maneja la otro to cototo. Deja ahora sí. Pase. Oye bien. Sí, ahora. Sanaré ahí. Óyeme bien ahora. Sí, ahora será. Mirarás ahora. Sí, ahora será. Pase. Oye bien. Será ahí. Óyeme. Tú. Mirarás ahora lo que haré. Ahora lo haré. Sí, ahora. Mirarás lo que haré. Ahí estaré siempre. Óyeme bien. Ahora. Ahora sí. Sanaré. Ahí. Ahora oirán de mí. Y sabrán todo lo que haré. Mirarás mi mano sobre ti. Óyeme bien. Tú sabes. Tú lo sabes. Tú lo oyes. Tú lo oyes. Ahí estaré siempre. Nunca te dejaré. Nunca te dejaré. Óyeme ahora. Sanaré ahí. Sígame. Óyeme ahora. Porque ahí estaré siempre. Ahí estaré siempre. Sígame ahora y para siempre. Y siempre estaré contigo. Nunca te dejaré. Nunca te dejaré. Ahora sí. Ahí estaré contigo. Ahí estaré siempre. Así será. Ahora sí. Pasará bien. Ahora sí será. That word for somebody here. If this word was for you, I'm going to ask you right now to give your heart. Everybody, lift up your hands. Everybody, lift up your hands. Everybody, hands in the air. Oh, I thank you, Father. I thank you, Father. I thank you, Lord. Lord, only you know, Father. Only you know. Lord, you know. I thank you, Lord. For the freedom of your word that just went through. Lord, I know that there was somebody. Oh, I thank you. Ha, ha, ha. Yes. Oh, yes. Ha, ha.
Yes.
Oh, yes. I am here. I have come to give you peace. I have come to give you peace. Oh, woo, woo, yes. Oh, yes, woo. Mm. Oh, sí, sí. Ahora sí, paz. Mm. Ahora, sane, ahora sí. Mm. Sí, deja, ahora sí. Yeah. Oh, I thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Oh, thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 7. Thank you, Lord. 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 7. Pour out all your worries and stress upon him. And then, do what? Take him back. Word of God says, leave them there. For he always tenderly cares for you. Hebrews chapter 13, verse 5. Johnny? In the presence of God, there's never a dull moment. You know, one thing that worries me is that in the church of today, this is strange. That worries me. Because this is what life is. It is what life should be. Walking, talking, living in the supernatural. Not doing what we think or acting like how we act. Not doing church like what we think it should be. But giving space to the Spirit of God. How many say amen to this? Hallelujah. Yep, give Him glory. Give Him glory. Okay, I feel okay to go forth. Let's go to, where did I say? Hebrews 13:5. It says, don't be obsessed with money, but live content with what you have. For you always have God's presence. Hasn't He promised you, I will never leave you alone. Never. I will never loosen my grip on your life. Luke, like Paul, what should be the unnatural response is what should be our first line of action. The unnatural response is to pray, to seek God. But that should be our first action. That should be the first thing we do. The second point I have for today is, but in everything, prayer. Saturated in prayer. Prayer is one of the most important weapons we have as believers. Is one of the most significant weapons we have. Now, I'm not talking about dinner time prayer. I'm not talking about praying that you get out of a ticket. This is real prayer, a different kind of prayer. Prayer is where we get out of who we are and step into the place where the things in the natural are changed by the action of prayer, and what it does is changed in the supernatural. Prayer has the power to change lives and the circumstances that surround us. Prayer can take a situation where there is no hope and open up the windows of the miraculous. It can do significant things in our lives. If we choose, if we live a life of prayer, it can change everything around us. There's a story in St. Louis about a young boy who was they were playing on ice. I'm pretty sure a lot of you heard about it. They actually made a movie about it. They were playing on ice. And somehow the ice cracked and he fell in this ice water. And the story said that he was there for 15 minutes before they can take him out. And then when they finally took him out, he was unconscious in a coma. They rushed him to the hospital. They already proclaimed him dead. But because someone stood by and did not let the circumstances dictate the situation, she stopped all that she was doing and she prayed. And if you, I encourage you to watch the movie or hear the story. When she prayed, tremendous things happened. That young man stood up. He woke up. And the most amazing thing about it is that even if he would have woken up in another circumstance, he would have been a vegetable. There would have been no way he could have functioned the way he does now. But if you look at him, he's as if it never happened. That is the power of prayer. Prayer is the power and the strength of the believer. As believers, we must pray. We must pray. We should be, as the scripture says, saturated in prayer throughout each day. We cannot go one day without praying. It is a no-no in the spirit and the walk of God. We cannot do it. We cannot do it. We must have a life filled with prayer. It is not religious to pray. It is not legalistic to spend time on our knees or flat on our faces praying. It is not a thing of the past. It's a thing that is still active now. It is a thing that we need in our lives nowadays. I don't know if you noticed, but when they took prayer out of school, school went crazy. When they remove prayer out of everything, everything goes bad. Why? Because where the presence of the Lord is, but when you take it out, what happens? When you take out prayer, what happens? When you take out God from the place, what happens? What happens is the enemy comes in, grabs a Coke, sits down, and chills. Sends his demons, go do this, go do that. Oh yeah, demons are real. Satan is real. Hell is real. And he functions. Prayer is a necessity. It is vital. It is like oxygen to the believer. Ephesians 6:18 says, pray always. Matthew 26:41 says, watch and pray. Colossians 4 says, continue in prayer. 1 Thessalonians 5:17 says, pray without. In the Passion Translation says, make your life prayer. Make your life prayer. Make your existence prayer. Make all that you are prayer. Our lives should always be where prayer is the first thing we do, regardless of the situation, circumstance, condition, or the case. In the good times and in the bad times, prayer should always be the one thing we do. Why? Why in the good times? Because sometimes in the good times, when everything's going chill, when everything's going good, we tend to forget about God. When we have all the money, when we have all the things, when we have everything going right, we tend to forget about who God is. It's easy to do because there's nothing attacking you. That is when we should be more in prayer. Why in the bad? Because when things are just not going right, our response should never be, I need to figure this out, or I don't know what to do. Because the response and the answer is in the Word, is in prayer. If you're dealing with sickness, with the sickness today, pray. If you're struggling to find your purpose, pray. If you're feeling anxious or worried, pray. If you feel depressed, pray. If you lack confidence, pray. If your money is acting funny, pray. Pray. I can't even express how much the Lord has been pressing in my heart these past weeks about prayer. It is significant in the times that we're in now. Prayer is needed. Prayer is needed. Prayer is needed in this time. We need to, as a body of Christ, need to get on our knees or flat on our faces and seek the Lord. We need to look for Him, because if we don't, we will not make it. We will not be successful. The church of the living God will crumble. Prayer is needed. Prayer is where the solution is found. It is the cheat sheet to life's test. Prayer is the cheat sheet to life's test. If we choose not to pray, if we stop praying, we lose direction. We lose confidence. We lose joy. We lose peace. We lose the ability to stand in the Word and speak against sicknesses. We become vulnerable to losing who we are in Him. We have a higher chance of falling into sin. Why? Because when we do not pray, we lack the power and the authority to push away the temptation of the devil. Look at what James 1:14 says. Every man is tempted when he draws away of his own lust. When he draws away from the things of God and follows what he wants. We as humans in our carnal nature naturally go away from the things of the Lord. From the things of the Spirit. In other words, praying. Because we are an emotionally driven people. Believe it or not, we are emotional. If we are not prayed up, emotions will dictate what we do in our reactions and our actions to situations. If we do not pray, we start tapping into the I series. What is the I series? I feel, I believe, I want. I say this with all due respect, it's not about you. I don't care what you say. I don't even care what I say. I care about what the Word of God says.
I care about what I hear the Father say to me. It's not about the I. Amen? It's not about the I. That is when we have that mentality, that is when we're the most vulnerable to the enemy. Why? Because he will agree with your I thinking. I feel anxious. Yeah, you do. Oh, yeah, you do. Yes, you do. I feel depressed. Oh, yeah, you're so depressed. I feel offended. Man, did you see what they did to you? Saying will be right away, right at the foot, agreeing with your I statement. Prayer stops that. Because when we pray, we are demonstrating that we cannot do this alone. We need God in our lives. We need his direction and guidance, so the strength of the eyes become the surrender and cries of Lord. When we pray, our eyes become Lord. Lord, I need you. Lord, I can't do it. Lord, you are my love. Lord, only you can do the things that you do. When we pray, significant things happen. When we stop praying, we lose an intimate relationship with our Father. We lose it. It's the thing about the Lord. He's there waiting. Sometimes days. Waiting for the moment that you open up your closet and you walk in. Have you ever waited somebody to text you? Somebody you're really hoping for, and all of a sudden you get a hi? Don't you get this, woo, yeah. When we don't pray, we have no way to know the heart of a Father. We have no way. The thing about it is, we can be in the Word. Faith walk not only requires the Word, it requires prayer. You cannot just read and not pray. You cannot just pray and not read. They work hand in hand. Because in order to be to have revelation knowledge, there has to be a life in the spirit, in the supernatural. And only for the word to be revealed to you, you have to walk in the spirit. And the only way to walk in the spirit is through prayer. Amen? If we do not pray, we're not able to truly continually feel the love of our Father. Shame and guilt arise. We remove the easy yoke and put on the backpacks of weight. Prayer is a true statement of who we allow to direct our lives. In prayer, we get insight into his purpose and to his will for us. We cannot allow the flesh to win this battle. We cannot allow the enemy to have stronghold over our lives. And with this, I will conclude. In prayer, there is healing. Not just physical illness, but emotional, mental, and spiritual. You might say, I have prayed so much already, but I don't feel nothing. You might say, Brother Jerry, I have prayed for days, weeks, months, but I haven't had a response. You might be sitting there in your prayer closet or in your car praying and seeking the Lord, but you don't feel a thing. All I can tell you is don't give up. Don't give up. In the Word of God, there's many individuals who were promised something and they didn't get it until years later. Till years later. Now, I'm not saying the Lord likes to wait, like to keep us in suspense. But sometimes the response won't come right away. And it won't come how you want it to come. But in the time that we wait, what are you going to do? In the time that you're sitting there believing for something and it hasn't happened, what are you going to do? If you pray, you will heal. What are you going to do in the time that you're there and you don't hear a word from the Lord? It will happen.
probably is already. But they that wait upon the Lord. See, it's in those times of wait that we don't see the things that are going on in the supernatural. One thing I've learned in my prayer life is there are times that I was there in my room, my prayer room, and I was praying to God for certain things. And it seemed like He would ignore my requests or my petitions. Because He would tell me about other things that were going on, tell me about this, about that. And I would ask Him again, Lord, but what about this? And I wouldn't get a response. But one thing that I have learned is that though I don't see what's going on, there are things happening in the spiritual realm. Things moving, things changing, things rearranging for things to come. There are things happening around you that you don't know what's going on. So what you have been believing for, believe that you will receive. And watch what God will do in your life. It'll be significant. Jeremiah 33:3 says, call on me and I will answer you. And tell you, even show you, great and mighty things, that which have been confined and hidden, which you do not know and understand and cannot distinguish. When I received a response for that thing that I was praying for 4 months, that's when I, now I get it. We must wait. We must pray. If we don't get nothing out of the whole message, get this. Pray. Pray. Don't stop praying. Don't stop searching. Let's all stand to our feet. Father, we thank you for the reading of your word. We thank you, Lord, for what you have done today. We thank you for moving in the way that you did. We thank you for changing lives and changing hearts. Thank you for restoring, Lord, us who need of you. Help us to become prayer warriors. To not look at the circumstances. To not look at our surroundings. But to seek you this day. That we may build a prayer closet in our lives. That if we have not prayed, Father, we make the commitment this day to search for you, to see what thus saith the Lord. We thank you in the mighty name of Jesus. Everybody say,